From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Military recruiters often tout the accessibility of a college education as one of the biggest reasons why a young person might want to enroll in the Army or Navy. But how many veterans of the U.S. military actually take advantage of the GI Bill's educational perk and do so successfully? In a new book, author Ellen Moore explores the experiences of college students who are military vets of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars and how they transition to civilian campus life. She also examines the way in which vets on campus impact anti-war activism and how programs intended to support veterans often overlap with a blanket support of militarism, leading to a suppression of debate. Ellen Moore is a fellow at the Slow Science Institute and a visiting scholar at the Institute for the Study of Societal Issues at University of California. She works as a social worker for recent immigrants at La Clinica de la Raza in Oakland, California. And she joins me to discuss her new book, Grateful Nation, Student Veterans and the Rise of the Military-Friendly Campus. Welcome to the program, Ellen.
Thank you, Tim.
So how did you conduct the research for this book? I'm assuming since you are on campus, you have taught courses at in San Francisco on college campuses, that you have interacted with returning vets attempting to resume civilian life and take advantage of that educational perk that I mentioned.
Yes, I have. I started this research, though, to find out I was teaching as a graduate student on campuses. And I started the research to find out what the situation was for veterans. So I started it as actually my dissertation research. And the way I did it was I visited many campuses, but I mostly concentrated on two campuses. This is an ethnographic project. So I studied vets' experience at one urban public university, a sort of a top-tier university, and then at a rural community college in Central California.
And let's talk about what it was that you found. First of all, what is the sort of approach that veterans tend to take at colleges in terms of what they want to achieve? Not all veterans, you know, have lost limbs or faced very serious combat. I'm assuming there's a big variety of experiences. I'm assuming some may be experiencing some severe PTSD and others not so much.
Yes, I think that's a really good point, that the experience of veterans is extremely diverse, I mean, very varied. And in fact, people join the military for different reasons. I was looking at a subset of the people that joined the military, and these were people that really were interested in a college education and basically signed up to go to war to go to college. I mean, that was ultimately the deal. That's not why they did it. They didn't want to go to war, but they did want to go to college for the most part.
So these were people who joined the military with the intention of wanting to return and go to college because it might not have been accessible for them unless they went into the military in the first place?
Yes, it wasn't. I didn't exclude others that joined for other reasons, but that was, by and large, a lot of people were interested in going to college at least, and many didn't have the resources to do it. But for whatever the varied reasons that they joined, once they were in college, what I found interesting was that we were all told that colleges that veterans are having a difficult time in college because civilian colleges have an anti-military bias, which was something that I didn't see. I hadn't seen in my experience prior, and I didn't see throughout the course of my research, but I thought it was curious that sort of idea kept coming up, that veterans might be having a hard time in college because civilians on college campuses were, in effect, driving them away.
It sort of reminds me of that myth that returning Vietnam veterans to the United States were spat upon by anti-war activists and were vilified even after they had sacrificed so much. And you're saying that this might also be a myth, that returning Afghanistan and Iraq war vets being shunned by non-military college students is a bit of a myth.
Exactly. No, it is exactly a myth. And what I found is that it's a myth, with the foundational myth being the Vietnam vets myth. I mean, it's built on this idea that we as a collective civilian population mistreated the Vietnam veterans on campuses. And so we as collective civilians today owe it to the Afghanistan and Iraq war veterans to treat them exceptionally well and to honor them and to venerate their service on campuses. Mm-hmm. So it not only is a similar myth, but it's a myth based on the myth of mm-hmm. Vietnam.
So the there are two separate issues, and you take them both on because they're often conflated on college campuses. One is that veterans who return from the U.S. military, they're ordinary people who are often in circumstances that are not ideal. They, you know, might be arising from low-income families or communities. They've come back and they need support, and they may or may not, you know, they may have a variety of opinions on the wars they served in. So most Americans agree that it's important for us to support veterans. Then there's the issue of glorifying war and glorifying the reasons these students or these young people were sent to war in the first place and celebrating militarism. How do college campuses often conflate the two to the detriment of both vets and non-veteran students?
That's a great question. And I think that the way that they're conflated, it's very subtle. I mean, it starts out with the heartfelt assumption that many civilians have. I would say, if not most, many civilians have, that people have been sent to war and they deserve to feel safe and they deserve to feel welcomed back. I think that is a pretty widespread opinion. But to take that idea, to couple it with, to suture it to an idea or a story that campuses are already anti-military or have a bias, creates the need, it creates a manufactured problem of the anti-military campus, so that extra effort has to be put into ensuring that civilian campuses are military friendly, which is actually a status that different universities and colleges vie for, is the military friendly status. It's actually a thing that is a designation that colleges can apply for and have bestowed on them. So with this designation of a military friendly campus, everybody's trying to sort of compete to who can be the most welcoming to veterans. But the problem with that is not that veterans get a good education. There's no problem in that. The problem, as I see it, is that when support for veterans becomes conflated with a silence about the wars. For example, I read in some literature, some what's called the best practice literature about treating veterans on campus, treating them well. Part of that literature says that admonishes professors and faculty members not to talk about the wars in their classes because somebody might say something offensive to veterans, meaning that if somebody says something against U.S. policy or the current wars, that might offend some veterans that are in class.
So veterans are being treated as symbols of U.S. militarism. Therefore, if you criticize U.S. militarism, you're criticizing the veterans as actual people. But in practical terms, is that really true? How have veterans reacted to any anti-war activism they might see on campus, or anti-war, or just even questioning of militarism in classes?
Well, absolutely. In fact, many veterans arrive on college campuses specifically wanting to question their experience, wanting to understand their experience in war, which, by the way, many, many veterans have extremely conflicted feelings about what they did in war.
Sure.
So the assumption that all veterans positively identify with their military experience is a false assumption, and it's detrimental to veterans who don't get into that narrative. And so many come and decide to study things like Middle Eastern studies because they want to engage in these debates. They want to understand their experience. They want to make sense out of their experience. And so many told me that they came to college campuses and they were expecting discussions, and they basically said, "What's going on here? Why is nobody talking about the wars? Why is nobody mentioning this?" And so there's this sort of gift of the Magi idea that you're supposed to help the veterans by not talking about the wars. And the veterans are saying, "Why is nobody talking about the wars? I want to find out why."
It's a sort of patronizing attitude that college campuses have been told they need to adopt in order to make veterans feel welcoming. But what it has done is stifle debate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, which then in turn alienates veterans even more so,
Right. Doesn't actually help the very people that need the help. Veterans have often been on the forefront of anti-war activism on and off campus. Not all veterans are anti-war, obviously. Not all are supportive of war either. But how have veterans found their anti-war voices on campus? Is that something that, you know, because campuses are supposed to be, college campuses are supposed to be places where you engage in healthy debate and question things?
Absolutely. I mean, Sonali, that was one of the curious things that I found. I didn't go into this looking for anti-war activism on campuses, but in the course of my research, I noticed, you know, an absence of that. And I think my theory is that in part that's because people are so cautious to do what they think they should do, which is not talk about the wars so as to prevent potential offense to veterans. So it was curious to me that that college campuses today are not centers for activism against the wars. In fact, it's largely, most campuses that I saw were largely silent on this issue. What I found was that veterans that wanted to speak up against and be organized against the wars generally found spaces off campus.
Wow.
That's different from previous times. And so Iraq Veterans Against the War, which is now what's known as About Face, did not have chapters in the campuses that I was at. It seems like, and I can't speak for all of their chapters, but it did seem like off-campus organizing was much more powerful than on campus.
Now, what about military recruitment on campus and how the U.S. military itself has a presence on many campuses? How does that impact campus life for students in general, but also vets?
Well, again, if somebody is being recruited on campus, on a college campus, that generally means they're being recruited for ROTC, you know, mm-hmm. Reserve Officer Training Corps. The people that are sort of enlist at the lowest levels or at the beginning levels generally tend to not be enlisted through college.
Right, they're in high school.
Exactly. Yeah. That's where the recruitment goes. And college is held out as the carrot in that negotiation that you can't. If you do this. So on campuses, it varies. I mean, there's some campuses that are deeply aligned and overtly aligned with military projects. You know, certainly in California, there's private schools that are deeply embedded in the military project. And I would say that are obvious, but throughout the public education system and the private education system, military research funding, military priorities are embedded in not obvious ways. So I think my research, looking at common sense and militarization of common sense, is more in the non-obvious spaces. There's certainly funding from the Department of Defense, DARPA funding, for technologies around militaries and fighting wars and surveillance. And from drone technology to artificial limb technology, there's robotics, facial recognition technology. It's all very much a part of the current contemporary university.
Right.
And what I was interested in is how even universities that are known for historic opposition to previous wars and the Vietnam War in particular, how they become sort of more than benign welcoming, more a sort of self-silencing, the self-silencing mechanisms that happen in the names of not offending veterans.
And do you think that this has been a direct result of these efforts by forces outside campuses to force campuses to conform to this idea of supporting veterans, clearly misguided idea of supporting veterans?
I do. I think that it's not an accident. I think it's not an accident. And we can look back to what's called the first Gulf War, what the military calls Operation Desert Storm, where there was in the first Bush administration, where there was definitely this idea that we can't repeat the problems that we had in Vietnam. So we have to preemptively have this narrative of supporting our military and supporting our veterans, especially on college campuses. So I think college campuses were targeted at that time to sort of formulate this discourse to make sure that there was not campus activism.
And so now we've seen that these methods have proven largely successful. Well, if killing debate about wars on campus isn't actually helping the people it's supposed to help, which is veterans. What does help them? I imagine for veterans returning to transition to civilian life, it is difficult in general, but to start an educational career on a college campus, so different from where they might have spent the last several years of their life, might be even more complicated. What do they find support in?
Okay, I think that's a great question. I think some things that absolutely help are listening to them. I mean, it seems very basic, but we know that just listening to people's experience and finding out what it is that they're looking for helps. Now, the veteran population, although many veterans, war veterans, have had specific experiences that can affect life afterwards, traumatic experiences, the training that recruits go through is very regimented and very specific. You know, people are trained to fight in wars and people are trained to follow orders in a particular way. So the kind of military training I found really transferred over into these vets on college campuses, that if you are trained specifically not to question authority, not to question conventional wisdom, if you're trained to react reflexively rather than think about things a lot before you take an action, these kind of lessons are very much embodied in the veterans. And it's boot camp. Anybody will tell you the boot camp is a very kind of traumatizing experience, or the lessons of boot camp can endure. So there was a disconnection when people came back to civilian life and sort of reacted in sort of military inculcated ways in situations where the opposite was expected. So that was one thing that I did notice. But in general, people that come to university that maybe don't come from a college prep background, and many of the recruits in the current wars are not coming from, you know, they didn't choose necessarily to join the military from an array of college prep options. So there is that what we have found, that people that are entering into a university experience, especially a sort of a research university experience, need support. And this goes for any student that is coming from a non-college prep background. This comes from first-generation students. Right. This comes from immigrant students. It comes from anybody that comes from a working-class background and wasn't prepared from birth to go to university. So we know what helps. We know that mentoring helps. We know that tutoring helps. We know that, you know, educational research is robust in this. How do you help people that have
right?
Not
and then it's
been
not trained? it's not that complicated. It sounds like
it's not complicated at all.
Are there specific issues facing female vets who return to campuses? We know that female vets have their own struggles in the military. And we know that women have their own struggles on campus. Sexual violence is hugely prevalent in the military, as it is on campuses. Do women face any extra challenges when they try to transition from the military to campuses?
Well, in general, with the women that I spoke with, coming to a university, civilian university campus or college campus, was in many ways freeing, because the sort of constraints that they felt as women in the military, as transgressors, just for being female. I mean, women are transgressors in a military milieu, because it is designed for men. There is a, you know, what I call military misogyny that is imbued in everything, from military training to wars. So in many ways, it's a freeing experience. What I did find is that one of the factors that happens for vets coming to colleges is that there tends to be veterans clubs, which can be a good thing. So veterans join together on colleges and they support each other to get through this. However, most of the veterans clubs are sort of built on this sort of military identity that tends to be male dominated. So the vets clubs tended to be male dominated. And so many of the female vets or the women vets sort of decide, you know, later for that was not going to help them. So I think that the challenges were less with and interfacing with civilian college cultures, and we're more with the sort of recreated military structures in the veterans clubs on campuses.
Are there racial and immigration related issues as well that vets struggle with? We know that our military has disproportionate representation from youth of color. There are kids with immigrant backgrounds that go into the military, you know, come from immigrant families. So do they also face sort of other struggles?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, what we find is in urban areas, particularly, it tends to be more youth of color that join. In the rural areas, specifically the rural southern areas of the United States, the recruitment tends to be more white working class or poor. But in the urban areas, absolutely. And my experience was that veterans of color definitely, you know, in some ways, they were sort of caught between two worlds, because coming to the university, there was a lot more recognition and well, I won't say there's less racism. I won't say that. I will say that it has different manifestations, but there was more room to talk about. There was more room for critique. There was more room to critique the established norms. And so in that sense, it was freeing for many of the vets of color. At the same time, if one has a military identity that for good or bad or whatever the consequence of that is, people do have identities that are formed that they feel certain affinities or certain bonds with their colleagues, comrades from the military. So they're still caught in that the nexus of sort of racialized discourses from all sides. But what I found was that people in general, people of color, vets of color, were welcoming the opportunity to talk about these things, to talk about the contradictions, rather than either front, you know, play along with them or just go along with the dominant discourse of the military, which is a whiteness discourse.
Right.
Male whiteness discourse.
And finally, Ellen, in our current political atmosphere, where we have been told we mustn't question the military and mustn't question militarism because it's a massive slap in the face to all veterans, you know, with Donald Trump saying that the mere act of athletes kneeling during the national anthem means you've insulted every veteran who ever served in war. With that atmosphere, how important is it for non-veterans and veterans on college campuses to form bonds, to talk to one another, to discuss what the experiences of these vets might be in wars and how wars might be seen by non-vets at home?
I think that's one of the most important things. That is one of the most important and most accessible strategies that we can use. We can talk to each other. We can ask questions. It was interesting that I went to these trainings for faculty about how to teach veterans as if there has to be some kind of secret code to be able to relate to veterans as if they aren't human beings and students. Right. But anyway, so I would go to these conferences about how to teach veterans, and we would get a list of questions not to ask veterans, a list of questions to avoid asking veterans.
Wow.
And some of the questions on the list were patently absurd and conveyed an ideological valence. Like one of the questions was, are you crazy like the Vietnam vets? Now, I guarantee you no person will ask a veteran that question, but was put on the list for a reason. I mean, it performs ideological work, right? It performed this work of making faculty against veterans. I mean, seemingly against veterans. So that was on the list. But one of the questions on the list was, what do you think of the wars? Now, that is very troubling. That tells faculty that one should not ask veterans about their opinions of the wars, that this might somehow damage the veterans. And I found the opposite with veterans. Not all veterans wanted to talk about the wars, but many did. And they had opinions about it. And many felt that their experience was erased on college campuses. Like, this was the most formative experience. They had some of the worst experiences, and also, honestly, some of their best experiences in terms of camaraderie and feeling their own strength. I mean, it was a very mixed bag, but it was formative for these students. Mm. And the fact that apparently nobody wanted to talk about it. And I don't think that nobody wants to talk about it. I think people are afraid to talk about it because they've been told not to talk about it. And I think to break down that silence, to break down that wall, is in everybody's interest, certainly in the interest of the veterans, certainly.
Well, Ellen, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out a website where people can find out more about your work.
That's right. It's ellen-moore.com.
We'll post a link to that from our site. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sonali. Have a good day.
Ellen Moore is a fellow at the Slow Science Institute, visiting scholar at the Institute for the Study of Societal Issues at the University of California. She works as a social worker for recent immigrants. We've been discussing her new book, Grateful Nation, Student Veterans and the Rise of the Military-Friendly Campus. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, find out more about our program on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.